SBS Radio.
Report shows that Indigenous youth continue to be locked up at alarming rate. Coronavirus outbreak has killed 17 people and infected more than 630. Authorities feared increased travel during the celebrations of Lunar New Year. And in sports, Australian Nick Kyrgios secured a spot in the third round of the Australian Open. My name is Šárka Pechová and this is NITV Radio News. A new report shows Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander youth continue to be locked up at alarming rate. A new report from the Productivity Commission found out that Indigenous children between the ages of 10 and 17 are being detained at 23 times the rate of non-Indigenous children of the same age. It also says nearly 30 Indigenous children per 10,000 are in detention, compared to just 1.4 per 10,000 for non-Indigenous children. Ashley Kearney, the CEO of Youth Advocacy Group Change the Record, told NITV there is no surprise at the overrepresentation.
We have a justice system in this country that isn't just, and Change the Record is out there trying to address these issues, and we'll keep doing what we have to do until things turn around.
The report from the Productivity Commission also found out that more than 300 youth in custody in 2018 and 2019 suffered injuries from an assault, with a further 35 suffering serious assaults. And excluding any incidents in Western Australia, there were more than 300 incidents of self-harm or attempted suicide in custody. 44 of these required hospitalisation. January the 26th is a time of mourning for many Indigenous and non-Indigenous people rather than a celebration. The first day of mourning protest was held in 1938, and many commemoration events as well as protests are planned also for this Sunday. These include a protest at the Parliament House in Melbourne, Brisbane Invasion Day march and rally, or national protests in Hyde Park in Sydney. Protests will be also held in Perth, Darwin, Hobart and others. While Prime Minister Scott Morrison has made his views clear, stating that he doesn't support a change of date, many others disagree. Professor Karen Adams, director of Gukwandruk Indigenous Health Unit at Faculty of Medicine, Nursing and Health Sciences, said that we should have a celebration of Australia on a date that every Australian can participate in. She added that the current date divides rather than unites Australians. Indigenous representatives met with the Prime Minister yesterday to discuss an overhaul of the Close the Gap strategy. The Coalition of Peaks, a group made up from almost 50 Indigenous bodies, sat down with the government's representatives. The group has been tasked with refreshing the 10-year strategy to address the Indigenous disadvantage, with the final agreement expected next month. Lead convener Pat Turner said they have held consultations over the last 5 months.
Nearly 4,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have now had their say on what is needed to close the gap. Today, the Coalition of Peaks bring those voices to the Cabinet table.
Major charities have defended their rollout of bushfire donations amid accusations they've been stockpiling millions of dollars for future emergencies. New South Wales Emergency Services Minister David Elliott has told the Red Cross, St Vincent de Paul and the Salvation Army to ensure money donated for bushfire victims is delivered to them immediately. But Australian Red Cross Director Noel Clement says the money can't be all used immediately when decisions are yet to be made on rebuilding and other recovery measures that will take years. He says the Red Cross is focused on providing effective support to communities impacted by the disaster.
We've been working in bushfire-affected communities since September. We continue to be there. We've committed to be there for the next 3 years. But we're also coordinating with other agencies and government to make sure that the entire support for people is working really effectively. So we're one very important player. We have significant amount of support from donors to bring to this. We want to make sure that's used most effectively, both immediately and as people recover.
the compulsory call-out of Defence Force Reservists to help with bushfire recovery will end. The federal government says their 28-day compulsory service period will end on the 7th of February. Thousands of reservists have spent weeks helping with the bushfire recovery efforts. The government is yet to release the cost of their deployment. The federal government continues to defend Minister for Sport Bridget McKenzie, despite some reporting she will resign as minister over allegations of pork barreling in sport grants. An Auditor General's report has found a sport grants program which $100 million of taxpayers' money favored marginal electorates and electorates the government was targeting to win at the last election, including one to a gun club Senator McKenzie is a member of. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has ordered the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet to investigate. He says he won't prejudice the outcomes of the investigation. But Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton has told the Nine Network he thinks there's still no evidence Senator McKenzie did anything wrong.
I think if you strip away the emotion from this debate and look at the facts, which is what we should do, I don't see the case has been made for Bridget McKenzie's removal. We all make decisions in our portfolios, but that's exactly what she's done. There was no funding provided to a project that wasn't recommended. The membership for the gun club didn't even come until after the grant had been made.
Overseas now. Dozens of world leaders have gathered in Jerusalem to mark the 75th anniversary of liberation of Auschwitz. The high-profile guest list for the World Holocaust Forum includes US Vice President Mike Pence, French President Emmanuel Macron, German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier, and Britain's Prince Charles. However, the president of Poland, where the death camp was built by the Nazi German occupiers during World War II, will stay away due to disputes with both Russia and Israel. Poland will host its own event at the Auschwitz-Birkenau Memorial and Museum on the 27th of January, as it does every year. Millions of people are in lockdown in two Chinese cities at the epicenter of a coronavirus outbreak that has killed 17 people and infected more than 630. Singapore has confirmed its first case, a one man who arrived in the Asian hub on January 20th and is currently in isolation in hospital. Vietnam's health ministry also says Chinese citizens in the Southeast Asian country had tested positive for coronavirus. Health officials fear the transmission rate will accelerate as hundreds of millions of Chinese travel at home and abroad during week-long holidays for their Lunar New Year, which begins on Saturday. The World Health Organization's representative for China, Gao Dengalia, says the lockdown in Wuhan is unprecedented.
Trying to contain a city of 11 million people is new to science. It has not been tried before as a public health measure. So we cannot at this stage say it will or it will not work.
The International Court of Justice has ordered Myanmar to take urgent measures to protect its Muslim Rohingya population from persecution and atrocities and preserve evidence of alleged crimes against them. The African country of Gambia launched a lawsuit in November at the United Nations highest body for disputes between states, accusing Myanmar of genocide against Rohingya in violation of a 1948 convention. More than 730,000 Rohingya fled Myanmar after a military-led crackdown in 2017 and were forced into squalid camps across the border in Bangladesh. Presiding Judge Yusuf Abdul Qawir read out the ruling.
The Republic of the Union of Myanmar shall, in accordance with its obligations under the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, in relation to the members of the Rohingya group in its territory, take all measures within its power to prevent the commission of all acts within the scope of Article 2.
The court has also ordered Myanmar to report to it in 4 months on what measures the country had taken to comply with the order and then to report every 6 months as the case moved slowly throughout the world court. To sports now. And in tennis, Nick Kyrgios has survived a slip-up to secure a spot in the third round of the Australian Open. The Australian men's number two beat French veteran Gilles Simon 6-2, 6-4, 4-6, 7-5 in an eventful second-round clash on Melbourne Arena. Kyrgios appeared to be cruising to a comfortable win early on, but dropped serve twice to lose the third set before recomposing himself to wrap up the match. The 24-year-old has told the Nine Network.
I definitely lost my way a little bit. He's a tough competitor. He knows how to win matches, so I just tried to refocus. You know, I could have gone to a very dark place in the fourth set, but I somehow pulled it away. But it was a tough match. I'm just happy to get through. It would have been very interesting if it went to a fifth set.
Nick Kyrgios joins fellow Australians John Millman and Alexis Popirin in the last 32 of the men's draw and will now face either 16th-seed Russian Karen Khachanov or Sweden's Mikael Imer. And now let's have a look at today's weather. Broome, partly cloudy with the tops of 34. Perth, sunny and tops of 31. Adelaide, partly cloudy with the tops of 24. Melbourne, also partly cloudy with the tops of 23. Hobart, much the same and tops of 21. Albury-Wodonga, sunny with the tops of 26. Canberra, partly cloudy and tops of 29. Sydney, shower or two, tops of 27. Newcastle, showers and a possible storm with the tops of 32. Brisbane, partly cloudy, tops of 34. Townsville, there is a possibility of a shower with the tops of 34. Cairns, shower or two, tops of 32. Darwin, also showers and possibility of a storm with the tops of 32. Alice Springs had a morning dust and then is expected to be sunny with the tops of 36. And Torres Strait Islands, partly cloudy, there is a chance of a shower, tops of 30 degrees.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.